Well, the book of Ruth is one of the Wednesday nights when Pastor Jimmy went back to the States. I did a sermon on Esther, and then the next Wednesday, one on Ruth. Took the two books, just one sermon in each. I've come back to both to do a series through them. And I had a little bit of fear that the transition from Esther to Ruth would not be quite dramatic. But I want you to understand that there are some themes in the book of Ruth that really touch most of us, that hit most of us. Because the opportunity to be an Esther, to be able to give a chance to really, you're going to die for your faith, doesn't come to all of us. But the opportunity to have to live through the daily routine, to live through the daily drag or the daily mundane tasks that we do every day, that comes to all of us. And Ruth is an example of that. And the book of Ruth has some great stories, some great examples that we can follow. And then, of course, it's a wonderful picture of what Jesus Christ did for us. And we'll talk about that more, about the kinsman redeemer. And it's a powerful message of how we didn't deserve what Jesus gave for us. And we needed what Jesus had. And we needed to be able to have Jesus reach down for us. And it wasn't anything that we did. It wasn't any goodness on our part. We were just there. And Jesus went out of His way, reached down, and offered to us something that we could never work for, we could never get, we could really never achieve on our own. And that picture is brought out in the book of Ruth. We'll talk about that further over the next few weeks. But if you want to listen to a change of gears as we go from Esther to Ruth, you know, Esther was a queen. She was the hero of her book. You know, she was valuable in saving her nation. Whereas Ruth was really just a small town farm girl. She just helped her mother-in-law. And she wasn't really a hero. She was just a widow that happened to be in a small town. And yet, as we change those gears from the book of Esther to Ruth, I want you to look at some other things too. That Ruth comes right after the book of Judges. And if you have your Bible open to the book of Ruth, that last verse in the book of Judges says this: "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." And Ruth brings about a transition from the book of Judges, where there's warfare, there's battles, there's heroes, there's judges that are bringing high drama about in different areas of Israel, to the book of 1 Samuel, where there's Samuel, who is a prophet, and the last judge, some people say, and the kings of Israel, the start of the kings of Israel, King Saul, then King David, and the drama that happens in 1 Samuel with kings and crowns and things switching around, and the nation of Israel really beginning to take a strong root, and David, who brings about a revival for the entire nation of Israel. But the book of Ruth is sort of sandwiched in there, and I have to admit that even in my own Bible reading, that as I read through the Bible in a year, and I didn't mention that, but I'll mention that now, make sure you're reading through your Bible. And we'll be passing out the next Bible reading schedules. I believe at the end, they come out at the end of this month. So if you're reading through your Bible, keep up with that. If you aren't reading through your Bible, I want to challenge you to read in your Bible every day. And the impact that that'll make on your life will be dramatic. It'll change your Christian walk if you read your Bible every day. And I have to admit, though, even in my own Bible reading, that as I read through the book of Judges and all the excitement of the book of Judges, and then I hit the book of Ruth, and then all the excitement of the book of Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel, that I often read through the book of Ruth in a day, since it's short, and it really pass over it with just a simple, almost like a breath, and then go back into the wars and the battles and the things that I enjoy out of the Old Testament. And yet the book of Ruth has such powerful pictures and such powerful themes in the book of Ruth that I think it would do us well to look at this and to dig into the book of Ruth a little bit. Ruth, unlike Esther, she doesn't have to chase or choose possible death. She simply lives her life amid the sorrows, amid friends, amid the work, the boredom that we all sometimes face. And through those trials and through that simply, what we would say, daily life, great things happen to her. And great things are coming to pass around her. In fact, she's even mentioned in the lineage of Joseph in Matthew, where She is part of the line of Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus. She is the great-grandmother of King David. So she is very influential and very important in the history of Israel. And just like the book of Esther, where they read that during a feast, they read the book of Ruth during the feast also. And we'll talk a little bit more about that too. But I want you to listen to this. And this is an introduction by Lang to the book of Ruth. And really, there's 10 pages here in the introduction. I'll just read two paragraphs, but I could really read the entire 10 pages. Very powerful thing that he wrote here, but I'll just read these two paragraphs. It says, "The book of Ruth does not preach by means of mighty deeds of war, inspired by faith, like those of Gideon and Samson," those are found in the book of Judges, "but by acts of love, which demand no less strength of soul. God can be praised not only with timbrels and trumpets, but in quietness and silence. There is a heroism of faith in the family, at the sickbed, and in grief for those we love, which is not inferior to that of Barak," also found in the book of Judges. "Jephthah, another judge, found it easier to triumph over Ammon than to subdue his sorrow on account of his daughter. It is often easier to die for the faith than in the midst of men to live for it. No psalms lift up their lofty strains in the book of Ruth. The scene of its history is not laid in the temple where the harp of God resounds. Its central figure is neither king nor poet. But the whole book was born of suffering and loving God, like as David the psalmist descended from Ruth. A people must first have families in whom God is manifested forth by love and truth before inspired singers can rise up from it to tune their harps with power." I want you to understand that while the book of Ruth may seem like a family book or may seem like a simple book, that the foundations of the book of Ruth are foundations that we ought to apply to our life, not just as the Kinsman Redeemer, but also foundations of family, foundations of that love that we should have for those around us, for the care that we should have for those in our family. Ruth is read every year by the Jews during the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, which commemorates the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. And what a picture of God's love for all the world that this Moabitess woman is included in the feast where the law was given to the children of Israel. Because truly, if you look at the Old Testament, the law wasn't just given for Israel, but the law was given to Israel to give to the entire world. And here, during their Feast of Pentecost or their Feast of Weeks, they read the book of Ruth because it has to deal with harvest, has to deal with those things, but also it occurred at the same time as the Feast of Weeks, as we'll see at the end of the book of Ruth. So they read this book, and yet Ruth herself was not an Israelite. She had to come out of her land, come out of her family that were Moabites. They were a family that had descended from Lot. Lot had left Abraham, and Lot, after he left the city, his city was destroyed. After he left his city and as it was destroyed, his own daughters ended up fathering children by him. And one of those children was named Moab, and they became the Moabites. And it wasn't against the law for the Israelites to marry them, but they weren't to have any part in worshiping with the Moabites, because the Moabites throughout history had a tendency to pull Israel's heart away from serving God. And yet here Ruth chooses to serve Jehovah God, to leave her pagan worship, to leave the gods that she was used to serve God. Nehemiah and Esther both preached against being fellowshipping with the Moabites, but Ruth was converted from her pagan religion to God of Naomi, Jehovah God, the one true God. So it's no surprise here in the book of Ruth that we see these words of redemption, words of redeem and words of redeemer, kinsman redeemer. In fact, those words are mentioned 20 times throughout the book of Ruth. Also, the word Lord, Yahweh, is mentioned 17 times. That word has the effect of that God is present with us, that He is a force with God's people. And it's talking about how He worked in Ruth's life. The word God, Elohim, is mentioned 3 times. And referring to God as the Almighty, or the Hebrew word sadeh is mentioned two times here in the book of Ruth. So Ruth becomes redeemed, gets to know God, the God of Israel, the true God. She becomes a believer in God, becomes the great-grandmother of David, Israel's greatest king, and one of Joseph's ancestors, the earthly father of Jesus, who was the husband of Mary. And what caused this change in Ruth's life? What caused Ruth to leave her religion, to leave her paganism, to leave her false gods, the gods that she was used to worshiping, and even the gods of her family? What caused her to leave those things? And while we'll talk about the kinsman redeemer and redemption later on this month, today I want you to look at something here in the first chapter of Ruth. What drew Ruth away from being a Moabite to come to Bethlehem? What drew Ruth away from her pagan gods to go to Jehovah God? And what drew Ruth away from her family, her pagan family, to come back with Naomi to Bethlehem, a place where Ruth really had no future, a place where Ruth really had nothing to look forward to, a place where the only thing that she was really going to get involved with was simply taking care of Naomi and working hard for the rest of her life to provide for Naomi? I want you to understand that as Naomi and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, and their two sons interacted with Ruth, that whatever she saw in their lives impacted her. There is something that she saw in the lives of this family, as this family moved into her area, that made such an impact on Ruth that she couldn't leave them. She couldn't stay behind where she used to be. And I want you to understand that tonight, that we must honor God. We must honor God. Now let's read through the book of Ruth, chapter 1. Read through the first 18 verses of chapter 1. Ruth, chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. That's roughly 50 miles away from Bethlehem. He and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Now, I always read verse 4, and you know, if you have a little bit of problem switching words around, that's not Oprah, okay? That's Orpah, all right? So Oprah has nothing to do with the Bible, all right? So in case you have a little bit of a reading problem like some people do, all right. That was a side note, hopefully not too distracting. Verse 5, and Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. So you understand what happens. There's a famine in the land. They move 50 miles away to where there's not supposed to be a famine. While they're there, the husband dies and leaves Naomi with her two sons. We're not sure of the age of the sons, but we know they lived there another 10 years. We don't know how long they lived there before he died. And those two sons married two women. They're of that land, both of them from the land of Moab. And one of those women is Ruth. And then those two sons both die. So here's this woman, Naomi, with all that's left. Her two sons are now dead. They died at an early age, apparently just married or recently married. And her husband is also dead. So all she has is her two daughter-in-laws. Verse 6, then she arose with her daughter-in-laws, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and giving them bread. And it's ironic, if you follow any of the Hebrew names, that the word Bethlehem means house of bread, and that Bethlehem was going through a drought. In fact, it seems like the drought lasted for several years, at least 10 years, that she was there in this land before she heard that God had come back and visited their land and breaking that drought. So this drought had taken place over a period of time. Verse 8, and Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto this people, unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters, why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and also, or should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left, speaking unto her. What made this difference in Ruth? That she would give up her gods, give up her people, give up the prospect of remarrying and starting a family again, to give up the prospect of possibly having a good life again, to go with this an older widow lady where she would simply have to take care of her, where she was going to give up her family, probably not see them for a long time or ever again possibly, to leave to a new area, a new place, and to give up her false gods for the true God. I believe strongly that she saw something in Ruth and saw something in Ruth's family that brought her to God, that brought her to Jehovah God, that allowed her to say that the religion that Ruth or that Naomi has, the God that Naomi worships, even though Naomi has gone through all these bad things, she hasn't turned her back on God. In fact, when she heard that God had came and broken the drought in Bethlehem, she was willing to return to the land. Some people criticize Ruth or criticize Naomi and her husband in the first place for leaving Bethlehem. And the Israelite or the Jewish commentators for the book of Ruth say that God judged them for leaving Bethlehem and for leaving Israel. And that's why Elimelech died. And that's why her two sons died. The Bible doesn't say anything like that. I'm not sure if that's what happened or not. But in the midst of that sorrow, Ruth saw something in Naomi's character and saw something in the way that Naomi worshiped God that she realized that Jehovah God was the true God. I want you to think tonight, in your own life, do you honor God in such a way that people look at your life and say, you know what? I don't know. I don't understand all the things that are happening to him or her. I don't understand all the situations that are going on to them. But I understand one thing, that the God that they worship is worth serving. I wonder if sometimes tonight that if we worshiped a God that was worth serving and we show that to a lost people around us, how many people would come to church? How many people would want to see what our God was? How many people would want to worship our God if they saw us worshiping the true God? I want you to understand that I am firmly convinced that we worship the true God. But I understand that many of us don't act like we do. And even in my own life, there are times that I wonder if God shows himself through me as strongly as he could because of my actions, because of the way that I live my life. When I'm going through trials, when I'm going through situations, do I share forth or do I show forth honor to the true God? I thought about this strongly today because today we didn't have electricity all day today. So I got electricity just before I left for church. And I wanted to make up the flyers for the thing tonight. And man, I was angry with my computer. I was struggling to get the pictures the right size and in the right spot. And I was sitting there, you know, angry with the computer, angry with the printer, And here I was working on a sermon where a woman had lost her husband and lost both of her sons. And here she was still willing to serve God. And I thought, man, that's convicting to me, convicting to my own life. Here I am just angry because I have a laptop. And I'm angry because I have a printer that works and it's just not printing at the right size. And I'm upset. How much more should Naomi be upset with her life? Should Naomi be upset with the way God's working in her life? Here she lost her husband. Here she lost her sons. And even one of her daughter-in-law, she pleads with them to leave her because she strongly feels that she has bad luck on her side. And one of them leaves her. So all she's left is a Moabitess woman. A woman that wouldn't really have the prospect of getting married in Israel. That's all that Naomi has left. She never has the prospect of seeing any children, any grandchildren through Ruth. She doesn't seem to have the prospect of seeing God work great blessings in her life. And yet she's willing to continue serving God. I was convicted of that today. But I want you to understand that we must honor God. I believe that we need to share our faith with those that are around us. But I also believe that we need to live our faith. We need to go about those daily tasks that so often absorb all of our time and yet remain both vocal and active in our service to God. It needs to be both spoken and both lived at the same time. Those two things have to walk hand in hand. You understand, you can't just tell people about God and then go off and live your way. You can't just live a life that you think is pure and never share God to somebody else. The two things have to work side by side. The two things can't be separated. They have to work together. It has to be both heard and seen by others to be effective as it should be. Here in Naomi's life, she honored God with her life in such a way that it impacted Ruth. It impacted the way that Ruth approached Jehovah God. And here in this first chapter, Naomi seems to have continued to honor God with her life. And if even after all these sorrows, you look at verse 8, Naomi, the way the construction is in the Hebrew language, Naomi is really praying that God will bless her two daughter-in-laws and to pour down a blessing upon them. She retained her faith in God while all these trials surrounded her life. I want you to look at this. We need to honor God, first of all, during hardship. We need to honor God during hardship. There's a lot of things that are missing at the beginning of this story as far as the interaction between Ruth and this family. We don't know how she was courted by her husband. We don't know how the marriage went. We don't know how any of these things came about. But it seems like that during the hardship of the drought that was there in Bethlehem, during the hardship of the loss of the father of the family, that these people retained their honor of God. They continued to honor God, not just in their actions, but also with their mouth, the way that they lived their lives. They continued to honor God. So during this famine, during the move into another city, the famine at Bethlehem that forced them to go to Moab, they hadn't forgotten God in their lives. And I want you to understand that maybe you're going through a hardship in your life, or maybe you have gone through a hardship and it's tainted your look at God, or it's put a bad taste in your mouth toward God, and you're asking God, why has this happened to me? Or why is this going on in my life? Or why did this person that I was close to, why did they do this to me? Or why did they die? Or why has this hardship come about through my job, through my school, or through my friends, or in my own family? Why am I going through these hardships, or why did this happen to me? I want you to understand that, and I hate to say it this way, but you need to continue to give God a chance, to continue to honor God, that God looks out after us in ways that we cannot see. I'm sure that Ruth, after losing her husband, couldn't understand what God was doing in her life. But you understand that God was bringing her closer to Him. That God was bringing Ruth out of her pagan religion into the religion of the true God. That God was bringing Ruth into an area where she could meet someone else that would take care of her. Where that she would have a life with joy that she couldn't expect. With joy that she wasn't looking for. God was manipulating and maneuvering her life in such a way that He was going to get the glory and honor out of her life, and at the same time, bless her in the process. I want you to understand that we do suffer hardships in this life. We do go through struggles in this life. Continue to honor God. Don't lose your faith in what God is doing in your life. That God's ways are higher than our ways. That the way that God works in our life, sometimes we can't see what the end is going to be. But that God, He does want to bless us. And at the same time, He wants to show Himself strong to those that are around us. Here in Naomi's life, through her hardship, as God worked in Naomi's life, it became a blessing to Ruth. As God stayed faithful in Naomi's life, and as Naomi stayed faithful to God and continued to trust in God's blessing, that it made an impact in Ruth's life. I want you to understand that if you continue to honor God through hardship, it'll impact those that are around you. It'll impact your own life. It'll make a difference in the way that you live your life. It'll make a difference in the people that look toward you. And they're wanting to see what God you serve. Do you serve the true God? Do you serve a real God? Do you serve a God worth serving? Do you serve a God that's worth keeping your faith in, even when you're in hardships? That's what people want to see. And as God brings hardships into our life, God is testing us and using us to be a blessing to those that are around us. There's something else, not just during hardship, but also during loss. Some of these things cross over. Some of these things can work side by side. But you know, sometimes a hardship, we can see the end of a hardship. In fact, we can have a hardship come out of our lives and forget to see that it's God that's taken that hardship away. But it's often very difficult for us to see a loss in our own family, or a loss with our friends, or a loss with somebody that's close to us, and a loss that can't be brought back, a loss that can't be returned to us. You know, Naomi was never going to get her husband back here in this life. Naomi was never going to get her sons back. And yet, God was going to work in her life in such a way that she was going to be able to praise God by the end of the book of Ruth and say that God has done wonderful things in my life. What a strong testimony that is for Naomi. And even as Naomi went through that loss, in the midst of those losses, both of her daughter-in-laws wanted to stay by Naomi because they saw something in her. And even though the one daughter-in-law turned back, because Naomi told them to, Ruth ended up staying with Naomi because during this time of loss, she lost her husband, verse 3. She lost some of her family, probably as she was had left Bethlehem. She lost both of her sons in verse 5. Probably with her feelings of despair because of her age, she felt like she would never be able to have another child again, never be able to have grandchildren again. And as she tells both of those girls to leave her in verse 14, Ruth saw something that she had seen in Naomi during those losses that drew Ruth to Jehovah God. What do people see in your life as you go through loss? Do they see you get bitter? Do they see you fall apart? Do they see you break down into despair? Or do they see Jehovah God still working in your life? Do they see your faith in God still strong? It really impacted me that in verse 8, even after Naomi has gone through this loss, that Naomi is still praying to God. And not just praying to God, but that construction in that verse is that she expects God to treat both Ruth and her other daughter-in-law in such a way that the blessings of God will be poured out on their life. That she still had faith that God had the ability and the desire to bless both of them. That God had the strong will to pour out His blessings on them. I want you to understand that people watch us. They watch us during hardships. Are we going to keep honoring God? They watch us as we go through loss. Are we going to keep honoring God? And then finally, a third thing. Do you honor God as you go through changes in your life? Those changes could be simple. It could be a change of a job. It could be a change maybe to a different school. It could be a change where something that's involved in your life, even something as simple as a different car, or as simple as a promotion, or as simple as getting more money given to you through your job, or through something that's going on in your life. You know, I've seen a lot of even friends of mine get a promotion at their job, something that God has blessed them with, and yet the very thing that God gives them for blessing brings them away from God, takes them away from serving God. I want you to understand that while we honor God through loss, while we honor God through hardship, we also have to honor God through change. Here, Ruth is going to follow her mother-in-law, Naomi, back to her home city of Bethlehem. And Naomi, while she may not understand all the things that wait for her there at Bethlehem, while I'm sure she may not understand if she even is going to get back the old land that she used to own, or the old properties that were her husband's, that she would have to go through some kind of legal thing to try to get back her property, she doesn't have any idea what's going to happen to her. And yet, while she's going through these changes in her life, while she's going through the prospects of really having to just prepare to die, while she's going through those changes, she never stopped honoring God in her life. And again, I'm drawn back to verse 8, where she's still expecting God to pour out His blessings on those that are around her. I don't know what's going on in your life tonight. Perhaps you're going through a loss. Perhaps you're going through some kind of change. And I want you to understand that change can be both positive or negative. Maybe you're going through a hardship of some kind. But I want you to understand, you need to continue to honor God with your life.